Welcome to the Sky Accountants podcast. I'm Ashley Carmichael, and today I'm talking with Nikki Williams, who's a client manager here at Sky, about all things FBT. Welcome, Nikki.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Glad you could join us. Now, we've just come past the 31st of March, which for us bean counters marks the end of the fringe benefits tax year, or FBT for short. And this means that employers who provide fringe benefits to their employees need to start thinking about what their FBT obligations are and whether they have an FBT return to lodge. And look, I was talking with a client not more than about 20 minutes ago about this very subject, and it did remind me that sometimes employers are not very clear on what is a fringe benefit and what their obligations are. So, Nikki, perhaps if we can start with a bit of a crash course on what FBT is.
No problems. FBT is a tax paid by employers when they provide non-cash benefits to their employees beyond their usual salary and super. This can include things like private use of vehicles, car parking, entertainment, payment of personal expenses or gym memberships, loans, living away from home allowance, and so on. When an employer provides a fringe benefit, they must value it in accordance with the FBT legislation and pay FBT at the rate of 47% on the grossed up amount.
Yeah, look, FBT certainly covers a broad spectrum of benefits, doesn't it? But look, you mentioned the gross up. It's a fairly complex notion, isn't it? But can you give us sort of a high level on what that is and what the implications of the gross up are?
Yeah, the purpose of the grossing up is to reflect hypothetically what the pre-tax earnings would have been for an employee to purchase the benefit themselves, assuming that they're on the top marginal rate. The FBT typically winds up being about the cost of the benefit, meaning a $1,000 benefit can wind up costing you $2,000 in total.
Yeah, that certainly has a significant impact, doesn't it? And there's really a lot of potential there for employers to be caught off guard on what the cost of providing some perks to their employees are. I guess it fundamentally highlights the importance of employers having at least a working knowledge of FBT.
It sure does. It also highlights that businesses need to know their way around the various exemptions and concessions. One such exemption is the minor benefits exemption, which can be quite valuable to them.
Can you tell us a little bit about that one, Nikki? It comes up all the time, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, the minor benefits exemption applies where the taxable value of the benefit provided to the employee is less than $300 and where it's unreasonable to treat the benefit as a fringe benefit. The benefit needs to be provided infrequently and cannot form part of the employee's package. So, for example, sending flowers and a small gift to an employee on the birth of their child, that's when you'd be applying your minor benefits exemption.
Yeah, sometimes we see it as well with things like dinners, some end of year or Christmas celebrations, that sort of stuff that the minor benefits exemption can come in. So it's a good one for businesses to know about and to work into their planning if they are looking at doing some stuff at the lower end. If you can keep it within that exemption, it certainly helps.
It can be
Any
very
other,
beneficial.
any other concessions or exemptions that anyone listening today should be aware of?
Yeah, there are really quite a few. We don't have time today to look at them all, but there's a few different types of concessions and exemptions in the not-for-profit space. There's also special rules around cars and living away from home allowances. With the living away from home allowance in particular, it's important to get the right advice on how to structure that correctly to avoid the FBT. Then we also have electric vehicles and EV exemptions that some listeners may have heard of before.
Well, hopefully they heard it from us, Nikki, because we did a podcast on that very subject about this time last year. But look, and listeners can go to our website and check out our podcast history if they want to see that episode. But perhaps if you could give us just a super quick rundown on what's involved in that exemption, because it does get a lot of interest, doesn't it?
It definitely does. It's a great exemption. The EV exemption is beneficial for people who want to salary package an EV or for businesses who want to change over their fleet. So they need to purchase an EV that's either a zero or low emissions vehicle, first held in use after 1st of July 2022, and has not been subject to the luxury car tax, which basically means it's cost them below $89,332. A zero or low emissions vehicle includes battery electric vehicles, hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicles, and plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. However, we note here that from the 1st of April 2025, the plug-in hybrids will cease to qualify. If all these conditions are met, there will be no FBT payable, irrespective of whether there's private use or not.
Yeah, look, it's a fantastic exemption for people who are interested in EVs. Relative to the FBT impact for a traditional petrol car, the tax savings are really significant. So, really encourage anyone who is interested in EVs to consider looking at that. What else do businesses need to know? What about record keeping, Nikki?
Definitely. Record keeping is very important. Businesses need to ensure that they keep the right records so that they can properly calculate their FBT obligations. This is important in situations such as valuing a car fringe benefit using the logbook method, or trying to work out the entertainment benefits provided to staff and non-staff. There's also a range of declarations that need to be prepared, such as when relying on the otherwise deductible rule to avoid FBT on expense payment benefits. There are also declarations for living away from home allowance or no private use of vehicles, etc. Employers should also be aware that they can reduce the taxable value of many fringe benefits where there is a post-tax employee contribution. This can be a useful way to minimise their FBT exposure.
Well, there's a little bit to absorb there, but it just keeps bringing my mind back to the importance of having a working knowledge in FBT so that you can structure things the right way, doesn't it?
Definitely does. And it's a great idea and very important for businesses to make their accountants aware of the benefits that they provide, just so they can get the right guidance. This includes benefits that you provide yourself as an employee of your own business.
Important thing to note, isn't it? Because a lot of people, in their own mind, they see themselves separately to those, the everyday staff. But even if it is your own business, FBT applies to you just like any other employee. Look, you mentioned about getting advice to understand. A really important point there, I would say, is getting that advice early. And by early, I would typically mean before you do something. We get back to that old saying about prevention is better than the cure. And so if you can get the right advice about structuring things up front, you can go forward knowing that you're doing things as tax effectively as you possibly can.
It can definitely help you save a lot.
Look, it's not uncommon, is it, to see things after the fact and sort of go, oh, that's not the way that should have been done. We do encourage people to get in touch, don't we?
Definitely.
Okay. And so, look, Nikki, if someone's been listening to us talk today and they're thinking, gee, I think we might have a few fringe benefits that we've been providing, what should they do?
I think the first step will be to contact their accountant and let them know. Then their accountants will help them decide if a return needs to be lodged, how to structure things, and just provide guidance from there.
And so, in terms of lodging an FBT return, Nikki, when's that due?
The FBT returns are due on the 21st of May. However, if they're lodged by an accountant, this can be extended to the 25th of June.
Okay, so we've got a little bit of time, but perhaps not a lot of time to waste if there's some work to do there. I think that's a pretty good spot to finish up today, Nikki. I think you've really shared a lot of information, which has been useful. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks again for having me.
Now, just before we sign off, there might be people out there who are listening to this thinking, I need to get my head around this FBT thing. If that's the case, I do encourage them to reach out to us. For those who already have our contact details, just reach out. If you're new to Sky, jump on our website and there's a contact us form there and you can reach out that way. But really do encourage people to be proactive with FBT and take steps to get their understanding right and make sure they're complying. Look, thanks, Nikki. Really appreciate you coming today and sharing some insights. It's been really valuable.
Thank you.
See you next time.